And so we're going to spend most of our time in 2 Timothy 3. If you want to turn there, that'll be up on the screen here in a minute. We're not going to turn there just yet. But before we go there, I want to turn to John chapter 14. These are the words of Jesus. And really, before we dig into why we want to be in the scripture, we need to see what Jesus has to say in this verse. It's John 14, chapter 6. It says this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, as important as it is to be in the Bible, if we just spend all of our time reading the Bible alone is not going to save us. But the Bible will point us to Jesus, who is the only one that can save us. Just like this verse says, no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. That is not something that is a popular opinion nowadays, that there are multiple ways to get to heaven and you just do whatever you want, do whatever you feel is right. Surely all religions are the same. All these roads lead to the Father and lead to heaven. But that is simply not the truth. Jesus is the only way. And if Jesus is the only way to the Father, the Bible is the best way to Jesus. I love how Rick Ashley puts it. He's a preacher in Texas. And he has a quote that says this: if you want to look for Jesus, go through the Bible. But if you want to look like Jesus, let the Bible go through you. Imagine if this is the path, if this is the road, if this is Jesus leading to the Father, then the Bible is our guide to stay on the road. The Bible is the rumble strip along the highway that tells you when you're going off course. The Bible is light on a dark path to show you what your next step is. The Bible is the guardrails of a bridge to keep you from veering off. The Bible is those guys that work at the airport with those yellow cones that are directing the planes to keep you on the path of where Jesus is at. And Jesus is the only way to the Father. And so if we want to be on that way, we better be in the Bible, because it is the best way to get to Jesus. Psalm 119, verse 9 says this: how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Over and over, there is this analogy carried throughout Scripture of a path. In this verse, it says, I've wandered from your way. All of us like sheep have wandered away, it says in a different verse. One path, Jesus, leading to the Father, leading to heaven, with the Bible as our guide to stay on that path. So now jumping over to 2 Timothy 3, this is where we're going to be for the remainder of this morning. I'm going to read 10 through verse 8, and then we're going to jump a little bit, and I'll kind of help keep you with where I'm at. Starting in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 3, it says this. See if this sounds like a pretty appropriate explanation of how people are. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people. For among them are those who worm their way into households and deceive gullible women, overwhelmed by sins and led astray by a variety of passions, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. People disregarding that. They are men who are corrupt in mind and worthless in regard to their faith. And now actually jumping ahead, we're going to come back to the verses that we're going to skip over. But jumping to chapter 4 in verse 3, this thought is kind of bookends this passage. And just as a side note, when you're reading scripture and there is a bookend like this, a thought that's carried over, whatever's in the middle of those things is important and worth looking at. So Paul carries this over into verse 3. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. Different word, but essentially people will not tolerate truth. But according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. One of my brothers sent me this picture the other day. He sent it to me and my other brother, actually. If you can't read it, it says this. I made my steering wheel full of cleansing energy. Now every time I drive, I vibe up, and my car gets a love charge as well. I'm doing my entire car interior with crystals, in which someone turned this into a meme. It says, congratulations, you just turned your airbag into a claymore. So hopefully whoever took this picture and sent it to their friends, someone explained to them how an airbag works and that that's not a good idea. But I show you this picture mainly not about the airbag part, because of what's at the top there. My steering wheel now is full of cleansing energy. Every time I drive, I vibe up. I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. I can't explain that. And my car gets a love charge as well. I don't know if they think that that's going to replace like gasoline. I don't know. Maybe this person is incredibly smart and they're like found a clean energy solution to our problem, but I don't think that's the case. People will believe all kinds of weird things, turn to myths that are not true. People will start to stray away from this path that is true and begin to believe some weird things. And that's what Paul is writing to Timothy here. He says, Timothy, the world around you is going to turn away to myths and to truths. They're going to turn to energy and good vibes. They're going to turn to horoscopes and astronomy and other religions and all these other things that are not what Jesus says. Maybe the most relevant thing for us this morning, not just an idea, but people will turn to hatred. And by the way, what happened in Charlottesville yesterday is so far away from the truth. And it's so anti-gospel, it's disgusting. But that is an example of what happens when you wander away from the path. That's how far you can get from Jesus. But then he carries on. It says, Timothy, that's how the world is. They'll turn away to these truths and these myths. But now going back to the part we skipped over, in verse 10, he says this. But you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance. Along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So this is what he's saying. Timothy, everyone else is going to turn away from the truth. The world around you is going to turn, but you know what is true. You know what I have taught you. You know what the scripture says. And their names are not mentioned here, but he references the fact your mother and your grandmother have taught you. In Acts we read about them. They are part of the church. And he calls his mind back to them and says, Timothy, you know what you have been taught. You know how you were raised, and you know what the truth is. And if you hold on to that, you will not stray off the path. And so I wonder, if Paul were to write a letter to each of us, would he be able to write, I know that you know what the truth is because I know you know the scriptures. Maybe a tougher question, parents and grandparents, would he be able to write to the students and the children of this church, I know they know the truth. I know they know the scripture because your parents and your grandparents have taught it to you. See, we do our best every week to put this truth into everyone that comes in these doors and throughout the week as well. Whenever we meet on Wednesdays and things like that, we try to instill truth into students and adults alike. But if you are not consuming this for yourself, if you are not spending time in the Word every day, staying on the path that leads to Jesus and reminding yourself this is where the lines are, then a few hours a week of hearing the truth is not going to outweigh all the other myths and all the other false truths that are flooded into your mind throughout the week. And parents, I would challenge you, school is about to start. Maybe some of you already have. Make this part of your bedtime routine. Take 3 minutes every night before your kid goes to sleep and just read a psalm or a proverb to them. I think it would radically change not just their life, but your family. And even though we do our best to impart this truth, the primary responsibility of that falls on the parents. So two things that mainly get us off course. If the Bible keeps us on course, if the Bible keeps us on the path to Jesus that leads to the Father, then what takes us off of those things? Well, the first is where we started in verse 2. People will become lovers of self. He starts giving this idea that, see, we have this tension of living in the world where we live amongst people who believe different things, and we're trying to go one way and they're trying to go a different way, and that can be really difficult. And so if you're not careful, if you're not continually reminding yourself of what the Scripture says and having your foundation set, then you're just going to be taken with the crowd. We go to conferences sometimes, you know, with the youth, and some of them are, you know, there's a couple thousand students and adults there, and we're in this arena. And when the session ends, usually everyone's trying to get out at the same time because we're trying to get to a meal or just trying to get to the next station. And occasionally what happens as everyone's leaving, you know, myself and the other adult leaders, we start looking around and it's like we only have 8 of our 9 students with us. And I mean, they're safe because the whole arena is, you know, booked out, but we need that student, obviously, if we're going to leave. And so as thousands of people are exiting the doors, going through the doorways, going down the escalators, you know, myself and some of the other bad youth ministers apparently have to go back into the arena to find the kid that they've lost. And trying to get through a doorway whenever a couple thousand people are coming out, or trying to get up an escalator whenever everyone is headed down, it's pretty much impossible. And it's the same way whenever we try to live in the world without reminding ourselves of what the truth says. Because the world is headed in a different direction. And if we're not constantly being a Bible-consuming church, it's going to be really hard to stay on this path and not get taken to where they're headed. The second way that we begin to stray off this path, verse 3 of chapter 4 that we read earlier. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. Our own desires also will take us off the path. Whenever we begin to think that we have things figured out without the guidelines of Scripture, we begin to go off the path as well. In fact, Isaiah 55 says it this way, verse 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's wisdom, and God's truth, God's love, the way that He wants us to live is so much greater than our own ability to control our lives that when we try to do it ourselves, we begin to stray. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. See, not only is our way wrong, our way takes us away from Jesus, which takes us away from the Father. And apart from them, there is not life. And so our way doesn't just take us off the path. Our way leads to death. Because we were not made to run our lives ourselves. We are meant to follow the scripture that leads to Jesus, that leads to the Father. One of the dangers with this is that sometimes we think we know what the scripture says, and we begin to distort what it actually says to what we think it says. Instead of us being in line with what God's word says and kind of coming back to it over and over again, we begin to think that, oh, I already know what that says, but it's a little bit off, and we begin to distort it and to twist what we think it is. I remember in college one time having a debate. This is what we did in Bible college. We were kind of nerds, so we would just sit there and, you know, debate theology, because that's what you do in Bible college. And we're sitting around my dorm room, and like there's three or four guys in there, and they're talking about this passage, you know, this idea of theology, and I'm like, guys, I don't think that's what that says. And I start to argue with them. I'm like, guys, that's not what that passage is talking about. And all of them are, you know, pretty convinced that it is. And I don't remember the passage, because it turns out I was wrong, so I've probably blocked it out of my mind. But yeah, finally we look it up, because we should have done that originally. But we look it up, and obviously I'm like, I could have swore that that said something differently. And that's what begins to happen when we think we know what this says, instead of actually diving in and knowing what it says, our views begin to get distorted. Our morals, our beliefs, our worldview gets offline. And the scary part is we think it's online. But if we're not coming back to this constantly and reminding ourselves of what is the truth, what the Bible says for us, then we will wander away. Finishing up in 2 Timothy 3. This is the verse that basically sums up this entire message. Verse 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, in this version, it is inspired. Some of your Bibles might say God breathed. The idea here is that, yes, man put pen to paper to write this book, but they were guided by the Spirit, that this word is not only just a historical account, this is the very wisdom and knowledge of God. This is his revelation to us in just the same way that Jesus is the explanation of who God is in the bodily form. This is the explanation of who God is in written form. This is his letter to us. Perfect wisdom, perfect knowledge, perfect love, perfect truth. And to ignore it, frankly, is insane. Because Jesus is the only way to the Father, and the Bible is the best way to Jesus. One last verse in John 20, verse 30 and 31, it says this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. John spells it out pretty easily. This is written so that you would know Jesus. And knowing Jesus is the only way that leads to life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Apart from Jesus, apart from his truth, there is no life. And the Bible is the best way to know Jesus. And so I wonder, are we going to be a Bible-consuming church? Not just a Bible-believing church, because it's easy to sit this on our table and say, yes, every word of that is true. But until we pick it up and actually dig into it and decide, yes, that I'm going to be a Bible-reading, a Bible-consuming, a church that longs for it and desires to be in the Word every day, until we do that, we're not going to grow very much. few things really quick to help maybe throughout this week. If you are not already in a reading plan or just in a time where you have set aside to be in the Scripture, I would challenge you to do that, even just a few minutes a day to get started. And on top of that, we're actually commanded more in the Scripture to meditate on the Word than we are to just read. If you're trying to sit down and just read two chapters, three chapters a day, that's fine. But sometimes we would be better served that when we get to a verse that kind of grabs us, and whenever we get to a verse, even if you've only read three verses that day, that just kind of hits you and you're trying to wrestle what that means, and it's speaking to you, if the Spirit is speaking to you in that verse, you would be better served just to stop and meditate on that for the rest of the day. Think about it. In fact, this time might not work for all of you, depending if you're working or at school or something. I would challenge you to set an alarm this week at 3:16 for this verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, and maybe put a scripture that you like there. And so at the very least, whenever that alarm goes off, maybe you might not have time to read at that moment, but you'd have time to meditate on what that verse says. A few other things. If you have a phone that can download apps, YouVersion is a great, it's the Bible app. It's a great way to do that. It has reading plans. But some others that you might not have heard of, one is called She Reads Truth. And what's cool about this, it's very similar to the Bible app, but it basically lets you be in community with other people. It sets this reading plan, and so everyone that has this app reads the same thing every day, and you can kind of interact with people and see their thoughts. Or there's one for men called He Reads Truth. If that is something that interests you, I would challenge you to download those apps. Whatever your plan is, it doesn't matter whether you like to do that or whether you like to print out a paper plan of how to read through it in the year, whether you just like to pick a book at a time and read. That's not important. The thing that's important is that we are in the Word, that we know what the truth is, that we are digging into Scripture and finding out the truth that it has for our lives. Because Jesus is the only way to the Father, and the Bible is the best way to Jesus. Father, I thank you this morning that we could be here worshiping you. Father, we're just so grateful for your word that you've given to us. Father, it is useful for keeping us on the path, for correcting us, for teaching us. And God, we pray that we would long to be in it, that we would have a desire to know your truth, to know you, and to grow in our relationship with you. Father, thank you for Jesus, what he did for us on the cross. It's in his name we pray. Amen.